We thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence. We pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts. We ask your help as we look into your word to understand our part in it. And we thank you for it in advance. Amen. Well, that was fun to have a leading in prayer accompanied by angelic music. That was fun. We're going to review a part of what we've gone through in a past series. Review one more on the subject of prayer. So we're going to be looking at it in your folder. There should be an outline there called The Centrality of Prayer in Life and Serving. And we're going to take a look at the outline that you see there, Astounded by Prayer, Acts 12, verses 1 through 24. We're going to go through that. So if you want to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 24, we'll be looking through that. There was a little boy, I'm told, who was particularly ornery toward his sister. In fact, he was being a pest to his sister. And yet the little boy knew Christmas was coming up, and he really wanted something for Christmas. So he thought he'd slip a word in to Mom and say, you know, I'd really like a red bike for Christmas. And Mom at this time is pretty exasperated with the little boy, and he keeps pestering about it. And she says, now, the way you've been behaving, you're asking for a red shiny bike. And he said, yes. She said, well, why don't you go write a letter to God and explain to God why you think you should get a bike? So he did. And he started off his little letter this way. I've been a good boy this year, and I would like a bike for Christmas. I want a red one. Your friend, Leroy. And then he thought about it a little bit. He thought, no, that's probably not just right. So he tried again. I've been an okay boy this year. I would still really like a red bike for Christmas. Your friend, Leroy. And he thought, no, that really doesn't fit either. I haven't been a very good boy this year, he said. I'm very sorry. I will be a good boy if you just give me a red bike for Christmas. And he finally thought, that's not going to do it. And he's so frustrated, wads up his prayer letter, throws it down, goes into the kitchen, says, Mom, I'm going to church. She looks at him and thinks, well, maybe that's good. So he goes to church. It's Christmas time, and he sees the little creche there, and he walks up, and he snatches Mary and puts it in his pocket, and he goes back home and he writes this. I've got your mama. If you want to see her again, send the bike. Signed, you know who. Well, little Leroy isn't much different from us when it comes to prayer. And to life, we will do anything to get results. We are results-driven people, product-oriented people. We're on the fast track for the bottom line, and prayer gets into that too. We want results, and we want them immediately or now. We may treat God that way. So what do we do when we don't see results, or we at least in front of us? There is a line by C.S. Lewis that kind of relates to Leroy's story. I know it sounds fantastic, C.S. Lewis says, but think it over. It seems to me that we often almost sulkily reject the good that God offers us because at the moment we expect some other good. In the case that we'll look at, it's a group of people who are astonished by an answer to prayer. The story or the setting of this is some very difficult days in the lives of the early church. It was about the time that King Herod had arrested many of the believers in the church. As you follow along in the text, you can read with me. That begins in verse 2. But he had put James to death, and he saw that this pleased the people, and so he jailed Peter, and he intended to also put him to death. After he assigned four squads of soldiers to him, he put him in jail and planned after the Passover to bring him out for a public trial and execution. Now, who is this guy? This was the grandson of Herod the Great. He's the one who killed all the babies in Bethlehem in the birth of Christ. So he's the grandson of Herod the Great. And this is Herod who killed James and planned to also do that to Peter. So these Christians were experiencing tremendous pressure just for their faith. And it was a difficult time for them. It was a testing time for them. Excuse me just for a moment here. I've lost some connection with my little part up there. I may have to have you advance, and I'll just look around. So King Herod was grandson of Herod the Great, and we're going to be looking at this idea. We must pour out our prayers when troubled, in confidence that God hears, cares, and sometimes answers ways that astonishes us. Okay? If you advance for me. There tough days as they were going through this, intense pressure on their lives. In John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." And that is a great promise to us. One person has said this, "The intensity of pressure doesn't matter as much as its location." I'd like you to think about this one. The intensity of pressure doesn't matter as much as its location. Does it come between you and God, or does it press you closer to God? I've seen that in my own life and the lives of other people, that some pressure exerted on people, sometimes people are pushed away from that pressure, or some people are drawn closer to God. And we can always draw closer to God. If we have Leroy's concept of God, then we might be disappointed. There are, secondly, some opportunities that we have to pray for each other, if you want to advance to that. Opportunities that we have to pray for each other. So it tells us in the text in verse 5, Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for them. They responded to this crisis where they were pretty sure he was going to lose his life, and it was in fact the day before he was to be tried that they were gathered together in prayer for them. So there they were, called to prayer, to pray for each other. This is a ministry that we have for and with each other, to pray for each other. I might say last Sunday evening, we had another gathering of prayer, and it was just precious, a precious time to be together and to lift each other up in prayer, and our ministry and our leaders in this church up in prayer. Let's take a look at this. Henry Drummond says in the next slide here, says this, "Church life outwardly, or Christ life outwardly, was one of the most troubled lives that was ever lived. Tempest and tumult, tumult and tempest, the waves breaking over his life all the time. But the inner life of Jesus was like a sea of glass. The calm was always there." Many of us need that kind of peace that Jesus modeled for us. This prayer was offered up fervently for Peter. And they received a wonderful, wonderful answer. The unfolding of God's answer we see in verses 6 through 11. And in it, it was basically a miracle of prayer. Answered only a few hours before Peter was to be beheaded. God was teaching them that God's delays are not God's denials. God's delays are not God's denials. There are delays. This was right up to the wire. I don't have a preference for right up to the wire. I would much rather have the answer in good time. But sometimes that's not how God's answers come. His answers do come. But this was a miracle of a late answer for Peter. There is such an interesting thing. Do you remember the story enough to tell me what was Peter doing when the miracle of an angel showed up, happened? What was he doing? Not this time, okay? He was asleep. He was asleep. I don't know. If you knew the next day something was going to happen, would you be asleep? He was asleep. That's kind of remarkable to me that he would be asleep. And so the angel had to do what? Wake him up? You know how he waked him up? Like an elbow in his side. It's kind of a fun part of the story, I think. Wake up! Get up! And then there came this miracle. The gate opened up where they passed out through that gate and finally realized, he first thought he was just having a vision, but finally realized he was out of prison. And then he shows up at a friend's house, which was this surprise, this great surprise of answered prayer. So that's point three, if you want to skip to that one. Maybe we could stop just there. This is a wonderful statement by Abraham Lincoln. I've been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and all that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. So if you find yourself there where you think your wisdom is insufficient for the day, that's a good time for prayer. It's just a very natural time for prayer. Instead of just letting things overwhelm, to begin here with that. Okay? If you want to go ahead then. And this was an amazing and surprising event for these followers of Christ. They were stunned. He knocks on the door and a lady named Rhoda comes up and asks who it is. And Peter says, it's me. And she doesn't even open the door. She runs back to everybody else to tell them that Peter's at the door. You remember what happened then? They didn't believe her. What'd they say? Do you remember what they said? You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. It must be a ghost or his ghost, or it must be his angel. So they were stunned. Eventually, Peter steps in, motions for them to be quiet, shares how he was taken out of the jail, and then eventually leaves. Now, these are amazing stories in Scripture which teach us how God is at work in Christ and how God is at work in us when we pray. These people were praying, and I don't think it was something like, oh dear Lord, please bless Peter. Please be good to him. I think they were, it sounds like they were stretched out earnestly in prayer, pouring their hearts out for him. There are some things about their prayer, I think, though they were astonished, that they had some frame of reference from which to pray specifically. Earlier in Acts, I don't know if you remember, but Peter was also, an earlier time, he was released from jail by a miracle. It's the second time that it happened. You can find that in chapter 4 and 5 of Acts. So they had reason to probably simply ask, Lord, if you can do this, you saved him once, do it again. There are times when we recount scriptural truths and stories about God's intervention. There are times when we recount our own experience of God in prayer, where God has answered it, that our hearts take courage to trust him for new and vital futures, in new and difficult and testing circumstances. So here are some things that I think that we can learn about prayer. If you could advance it to a picture of sunrise. Well, this is coming up, isn't it? This is a total eclipse of the sun. And there's a wonderful statement by Oswald Chambers, I believe it is. Just a moment, I'll get that for sure. No, it was G. Campbell Morgan. And he says this, what we do in the crisis always depends on whether we see the difficulties in the light of God or God in the shadow of our difficulties. Now, when a total eclipse of the sun comes, you can't see a whole lot because it's being eclipsed. There's a long shadow. And that, to me, kind of reminds me of what, at least part of what he's saying here. Seeing God in the shadow of my difficulties. When I do that, which is bigger? The difficulties. When I see God in the shadow of my difficulties, then the difficulties are bigger than who God is. Now this next picture, if you would mind turning there, this was a beautiful morning. It was a sunrise when I took this picture, and it was just a quiet moment where, as I watched the sun spread out across this ocean and those islands, that things became more and more and more clear to me. I'm reminded of this quote that C.S. Lewis made at the time. I was struck by the thought as I could see more and more. It was kind of like what C.S. Lewis said. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but by it I see everything else. I think prayer does at times help us see things differently. C.S. Lewis talked about the point of prayer not being so much as coming to God and getting things from God, but being changed by God. He was really keen on that. He believed in the discipline of time with God, that it by just simply making himself get there, that he was placing himself in a place where God could work in him, or God could exercise him in this relationship, this life-transforming relationship that he was being called to in prayer. Let's talk briefly then about some takeaways in prayer. If you could advance to what's called takeaways in prayer. First, we need to trust that God is doing something in our difficulties. That's an important point. That God is doing something in our difficulties. Could you advance to the next slide? This is another quote by Oswald Chambers. Stretched to hit the mark, a saint's life is in God's hands as a bow and arrow are in the hands of an archer. God is aiming at something the saint cannot see. He stretches and strains, and every now and again, the saint says, I just can't stand anymore. But God does not heed. That is not because God does not care. Oswald Chambers believed God cared. He goes on stretching until his purpose is in sight, and then he lets fly. This to me is belief that God is up to something, even when our prayers are not answered. That we need to trust God is doing something, even in the middle of our difficulties. The second thing that we need is to reassure our hearts and the hearts of others that God does care and sometimes will astonish us in prayer. This is very important. It's one way that we can remain calm and trusting when things seem to be difficult or falling apart. We minister to each other when we do this. Reassure each other that God hears and cares and sometimes will astonish us. It helps us be calm and trusting. Alan Bean, a former Apollo astronaut, shared the importance of what I would call some wise thinking. Test pilots have a litmus test for evaluating problems. When something goes wrong, they ask the following question. Is this thing still flying? Is this thing still flying? If the answer is yes, then there's no immediate danger, no need to overreact. Now, if we could advance to the next slide. Do you know what that is? A waterfall? Lightning hitting a rocket. That's Apollo 12. You remember this. Apollo 12 got hit by lightning. It was a remarkable moment. Scary moment. They reported it this way. The entire console began to glow with orange and red trouble lights. There was the temptation to do something. But they asked themselves, is this thing still flying in the right direction? And they said, yes, it is. It was headed for the moon. They let the lights glow as they addressed the individual problems and watched the orange and red lights turn off one by one. I think that's something to think about in the middle of any pressure situation. If your life is still flying, don't spaz. Stop. Pray. Reflect. Maybe then ask. When we're in a crisis mode and the panic lights are blinking wildly, we're tempted to do something, but we can stop. Ask God to clear our minds so that we can process what goes on. Let's go to the next slide. Some moments in prayer are absolutely pivotal. They were for this fledgling group of Christians. And again, in moments of crisis, we have to encourage each other to ask great things from God. These Christians, like I mentioned, had earlier things that they could point back to. The Lord delivered Peter once when it came down to the wire. Maybe he could do it again. To ask God for direction, ask God for his timing. Ask God to make a difference in these circumstances. Ask God to make a difference in us. Think about some answers to prayer that have astonished you over the years. List them. Recount them. Thank God for them. Pray this week in light of those kinds of prayers or answers to prayer. Let's move to the next slide. Just one moment. I'm going to play a little song. It's a wonderful song. called Whispers in a Dream. And then I'll reflect with you.
The world is quiet and waiting.
It may be that Peter felt that there was quite a storm going on around him and the early church as well. The picture that was depicted there of a storm was a day and evening when I stood out and just watched this happen. It was a remarkable experience, just this huge thunderstorm in this shaft of red, orange, gold light that came through. It was a moment that reminded me that storms sometimes bring even though they seem to be full of destructive power, they are also things that water and nourish. And my perspective shifted a little in that the difficulty of life that I was going through at that moment, the perspective on that difficulty shifted. And I began to wonder how it was that God was going to bring good out of that, and if, like the clouds, could possibly bring nourishment to me. I appreciated the song because it talks about, I think, in a hidden way, God's ministering angels coming, singing in the storm, rain like being like God's mercy or presence washing our tears away, and the clouds parting, light showing. Perhaps it ministers to me like God's presence has in the storm, breaking through. It talked about as people sigh and the light comes. That moment where in the middle of your darkness, your difficulties, you get a ray of light and you relax in the middle of the struggle. And you're just grateful that, oh yes, I will be taken care of. And then love embodied in God's will, in God, love embodied in God will fall on us so that we will smile again. I don't know if you are struggling today. If you are not, great. I just hope you have great joy. And if you come to a stormy time in your life, that hopefully you'll remember how God answers remarkably in prayer, answer to prayer. That we are bound up together in prayer. That my prayers make some kind of difference for you, and your prayers make some difference for me is also an important thing. To never be alone, to consider yourself alone in that circumstance, but to seek and find out those who will be praying for you and who can bear witness to God's answer to prayer. I think that's going to be an important thing as well. And if you are, for some reason, suffering today, I pray that this will be an encouragement to you. Trust deeply. I'd like to ask you to come. And would you pray with me as they come to lead us in a final song? Would you stand as we close? We'd like to also remind you of our celebration following this. We'll be starting just as soon as we adjourn. Thank you for the promise of your mighty presence in our life. At times when we don't even sense it, that you are still there. And you do want us to reach out to you and tell you our heart. For those times when we have pouted, forgive us and help us to look more in trust to you. Help us to reach toward you in trust and entrust the things that are of concern to us to you. Help us to know how to pray more specifically with you, how to entrust the details to your keeping. Surprise us, as you always do, with your answers. We ask this in your name. Amen.